Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Yud Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to the top of Daf Yud Dalid, we notice a Mishnah. Before learning the Mishnah, let us take advantage of one of the features of the Shas Ozer, the cornerstone of Gemara markings, and we're referring to our pre-marked Daf Gemara that appears on your screen. In the outside margin, you'll notice a note, the word Nosei, which represents a topic heading. We attempt in the Shas Ozer, that is the Gemara that you are using, to present topic headings and summaries of these sukkis on the outside margin under the heading Nosei. In this case, we've written the Nosei is Hashochet Behema B'Shabbos, someone who slaughters a Behema on Shabbos. Now, of course, Shabbos is a day that there is a prohibition of slaughtering, in addition to all of the different Ovos Melachos, Shechita being one of them. So we point out, Afal Pi Shemishayev Benafsho, even though for the act of slaughtering on Shabbos, one could be Chayev, a capital penalty, Shechita Sukshera, the result of the Shechita is kosher. In other words, one could partake of the meat. That is essentially what our Mishnah teaches us. Let's read the Mishnah. Hashochi b'Shabbos u'b'Yom Kippurim, one who slaughters on Shabbos or on Yom Kippur, afal pi shemischayev b'nafsho, even though it's characterized as a capital offense. With regard to Yom Kippur, we just might point out parenthetically that there is no capital punishment for a Yom Kippur offense, but there is a kores punishment. Kores is a situation where from heaven the Almighty will cut away this person, cut away, shorten his life, and other interpretations that accompany the kores penalty. Whatever the case is, it's a form of mischayef benafsho. It's a very serious offense. Nevertheless, even though the person doing the shechita on Shabbos or Yom Kippur is chayev this serious penalty, shechita sokshera, the act of shechita, the result of the act of shechita is one of kashrus. The animal, the meat, can be eaten. Now, as we turn to the Gemara, we also have a Nosei heading, and we've marked to the in the outside margin, we've written that this lasts till Daf Tes Vov. In other words, the discussion that we are about to embark upon will keep the Gemara occupied till Daf Tes Vov. We feature here Dino Shel Rav, the law of Rav, the halach of Rav, afopi shehashchita kshera, even though the Mishnah describes the shchita that was done on Shabbos as being acceptable, mikol mokoim osur le'oichlo be'oiso yom, one is not allowed to partake of the meat that very day. B'nei ha'yeshiva amru, the students of the yeshiva, at the time of Rav, said Amru Shedivrei Rav Haim Al Pi Rabbi Yehuda. They said that Rav's halacha, that it's osur to eat the meat that day. It's quite likely that if we're not dealing with eating on Yom Kippur, unless you're dealing with someone that's very sick. But with regard to Shabbos, it would be a situation where they would be probably eating the meat raw. Nevertheless, that eating is prohibited, and this is based on the shita, the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. What will preoccupy the Gemara for such a long time is really featured in our mivneh heading. You can see mivneh is a word indicating structure. In our Gemara markings, we attempt to provide, in addition to topic headings, structural notes which attempt to explain the different geometric forms that appear along the way. In this case, we have featured a triangle, and this triangle, you'll notice, if you skim ahead, you'll notice that on Daf, on Omid Beis, you will find a few more of these, and it continues all the way till Daf Tes Vav. What are these triangles? So we've written, Chipus Achar Hey Rabbi Yehuda de Omar Hochi. We are going to be scanning various sources where Rabbi Yehuda appears to see which Rabbi Yehuda is being referred to in this context of Rav's halacha being in the spirit of Rabbi Yehuda. So we're looking for a sheet of Rabbi Yehuda somewhere in the world of Tanaic sources that reflects this idea that the shechita that was done is a kosher shechita, but there is a separate problem regarding benefiting from the meat that very day, on Shabbos in this case. In addition to the triangles, we will see later on in the Gemara the trapezoid form, which we fondly referred to as the volcano shape. This will be used as a means of keeping track of the Gemara's back and forth discussion. The term that we use for keeping track is ma'akav. And with the narrow part of that volcano shape facing upwards, those will represent kushyos al hahatza'ah. They will be questions on that which is suggested. In other words, we're going to suggest which Rebbe Yehuda, which comment of Rebbe Yehuda reflects the idea that it's usur, that it's forbidden to benefit from the meat that day. After the Gemara offers its suggestion, there will be questioning of the suggestion. And then there will be a back and forth, a give and take on this topic with responses. And those are signified by the in the inverted volcano form. So now let us turn to the Gemara. Omar Rav Huna. Dorash Chiyo Barav Mishmei Darav. Rav Huna informs us that Chiyo Barav said in the name of Rav, Osuro Ba'achila L'yoymo, that the meat that was slaughtered on Shabbos day, it is also to eat from that meat on that very day. In other words, the shechita is kosher, and you'll be allowed to eat from it the next day. Rashi points out, like we said before, that even though he may want to eat from the meat raw, because you cannot cook it up on Shabbos, nevertheless, one is prohibited. The Gemara continues, Venasvin Chavraya Lumeimar, the Bnei HaYeshiva attempted to say, or occurred to them to say, Rabbi Yehuda Hi. This idea is according to Rabbi Yehuda. Now the Gemara asks, Hey Rabbi Yehuda, which Rabbi Yehuda? Where is there a comment of Rabbi Yehuda's that would reflect this idea? Omar Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Yehuda de Hachona. This is Rabbi Yehuda from the topic of Hachona. Hachona is the requirement in order for one to benefit from something on Shabbos or Yom Tov. It had to have been muchan, it had to have been available for use or made or designated for use prior to Shabbos. What exactly this means will be best appreciated by continuing in the Gemara. Disnan, mechadchen es adiluin lifnei habehemo, ves hanavela lifnei haklovim. One is allowed to cut up. Diluin is a type of vegetation, probably a large form of vegetation that it's. Animals will eat from it, cows will eat from it, but if it has to be cut into, we'll call it cow size or bite size pieces. So it's mutter to cut the diluin for a behema on Shabbos. We're talking about, of course, a harvested or detached diluin. The es hanavela lefnei haklovim. And one is also allowed to dismember, to cut up a dead animal to feed the dogs. And Rashi adds here, when it says Vesanaveva, even if it died that day on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, now we've underlined Rabbi Yehuda's name, he is really the focus of our discussion. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im lo hoisa neveva me'erev Shabbos asura. According to Rabbi Yehuda, if it wasn't dead from before Shabbos, then it's usur. In other words, an animal that died on Shabbos itself would be usur to serve, to cut up and serve to the dogs. If the dogs eat it on their own, that's a different story. But we're talking about cutting it up to make it more easily consumed by the dogs. So if it wasn't dead before Shabbos, if it died on Shabbos, it would be usher to handle the nevela. Lefi she'eino min hamuchan. Because if it died on Shabbos, when Shabbos entered, it wasn't designated for the benefit of the dogs. And that's what we meant before by the expression hachona. It wasn't, if it died on Shabbos, when Shabbos entered, though, it was still alive, and it wasn't therefore designated or available for dog consumption. The fact that on Shabbos itself it became suitable for the dogs, that doesn't solve the problem that of its lacking hachona, lacking this preparation or designation from the entrance of Shabbos. Alma, what do we see from here with regard to Rabbi Yehuda? Kevan de lo iskan me'esmol, since it wasn't designated from the day before for the dogs, asura, it therefore is usur on Shabbos day to present it to the dogs. Hachinami, so too in our case with regard to the animal that was shechted on Shabbos. Kevan de lo iskan me'esmol, since it wasn't designated from Erev Shabbos to be a source of meat on Shabbos, so asura, that the fact that it becomes a source of meat on Shabbos because someone was over in sinned and shechted it, that doesn't indicate though that it had hachona toward that ends. And so therefore, since it wasn't designated at the entrance of Shabbos for the purpose of animal food, it cannot be handled, it can't be moved around. And therefore, we say it's osur b'achila liyoma. It's osur to eat that day, the day of Shabbos. So what have we done? We've paralleled the din of Rebbe Yehuda with regard to the nevela with Rav's teaching that an animal that's slaughtered on Shabbos day, since it didn't have hachona before the entrance of Shabbos, it therefore is usher on Shabbos day. So we see a parallel. Now we have the volcano form with the narrow part facing up, and we've explained already these represent questions. Here we're going to question this parallel. Amarle Abaye, mi dami. Abaye says to Rabbi Abba, how can you compare the din in this Tanaic source with Rav's halacha? Hasam, in the case of Rabbi Yehuda by the Nevela, Meikara Muchan Li'odam, when the animal was alive, it was really designated for human benefit. People were anticipating either using the animal as it is now and slaughtering it eventually for their own consumption. The Hashta Muchan L'Klovim, but now that it dropped dead on Shabbos day, it's no longer Muchan L'Adam, it's Muchan L'Klovim. It's essentially, we'll say, designated for dog consumption. After all, it's dead meat, it's not kosher. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is stringent. Where something at the entrance of Shabbos was designated for one party, and when Shabbos enters, because of its change of status, it now becomes designated for something else. Therefore, that change cannot take place. It wasn't designated before Shabbos for the dogs. Hacha, however, in the case of our Mishnah, Meikara Muchan L'Adam, V'Ashta Muchan L'Adam. Before Shabbos began, it was anticipated that a person would consume that meat. And now, on Shabbos as well, that it was shechted on Shabbos, it's also Muchan L'Adam. So, since there isn't any change in terms of for whom it was Muchan, I would have said, says the Gemara, that I would have said not to accept Rav's teaching that it's also B'Achila L'Yoma. So the Gemara now answers Abaye's objection. Mi savris behemo b'chayel achilo medes. Who says that when the animal is alive, it is designated for eating. Behemo b'chayel legadel oimedes. Now we've dashed underlined this because this is the key point for right now. A behemo, when it's alive, is there for offspring production, for child production. That's legadel oimedes. Therefore, the animal, when it was alive, was not therefore, let's say it like this, that the case of the animal that was alive before Shabbos set in, it was really not designated for eating, so that it really is parallel to the case of Rabbi Yehuda by the Nevela. What did we say by Rabbi Yehuda of the Nevela? We said that when the animal that died on Shabbos, when Shabbos came in, it was designated for one purpose, for person consumption, and when it died, it became now for dog consumption. Same thing with regard to our Mishnah. When the animal was alive, it was designated for procreation, for raising future children. And now that it was shechted, it's now designated, or now becomes, designed for eating. So there is a parallel between the two. So what Abaye was asking on, Abaye was suggesting that Rabbi Yehuda of Hachona cannot be the Rabbi Yehuda that we're looking for right now. We're saying it could be like the Rabbi Yehuda that we are looking for. The Gemara asks, and of course what we are doing here is navigating with the volcano shapes. Here the narrow part is facing up. This is now restoring a question. I hachi, behema the Rabbi Yehuda, b'yom tov hechi shachtinon. If you're going to tell us that a behema, when it's alive, is not for eating purposes, how ever does Rabbi Yehuda allow the slaughtering of animals on Yom Tov? Which, by the way, is allowed. But if you'll tell me that when Yom Tov sets in, the behema is not designed for eating, it then becomes usur, it becomes mutzah. It's not muchan. It's not muchan for Yom Tov enjoyment. So to this we answer, Omar Loi. He answers, as far as a behema is concerned, oimedes la'achila v'oimedes la'gadel. It has a dual purpose. When it's alive, it has a dual purpose. One, it's thought of as a source of meat for eating, and also it is a source of animal production. Nishchato, if on Yom Tov it is slaughtered, huvro delachila omedes, it then becomes clear retroactively that at the entrance of Yom Tov, it was really there for eating purposes, and hence shechita can be allowed. Loi nishchata, if the animal was not shechted. For example, the case of an animal that simply dropped dead, then that is huvro de legadil omedes. Then it becomes clear that at the entrance of Yom Tov, since on Yom Tov, in the course of Yom Tov, it didn't go through the act of shechita, of slaughtering, so when Yom Tov came in, it was really designed for the gadel, for raising offspring. At this point then, we can still see that Rabbi Yehuda, with regard to an animal that died on Shabbos, when Shabbos set in, it was designated for one purpose, and now that it's dead, it becomes designated for dogs. And that's the same idea with regard to our Mishnah, that at the entrance of Shabbos, the behema was b'chaya, was the gadel omedes, and when the animal was shechted, it then became available for food purposes. So at this point, we can still parallel the din of Rebbe Yehuda by the Nevela to Rav's teaching that it's Asura B'Achila L'Yoyma. The Gemara asks, But v'ha les lei Rabbi Yehuda breira. In order to explain how Rabbi Yehuda would allow the consumption of meat on Yom Tov, in other words, he allowed the slaughtering of meat on Yom Tov, we had to say that Rabbi Yehuda holds from Breiro that if you shech the animal on Yom Tov, it then becomes retroactively clarified that at the entrance of Yom Tov, you had that purpose in mind. Once again, but that explanation involves activating the legal institution of Breiro, namely retroactive clarification. But Rabbi Yehuda is known to deny that phenomenon or that approach. If that be the case, then our explanation of Rabbi Yehuda with regard to the Rabbi Yehuda d'Hachona will not hold up. We now encounter a bracketed section. The length of this bracketed section, you'll notice through the length indicator, the dashed, dotted, vertical line that appears to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. And this takes you to Amud Beis, a number of lines down from the top. Just follow the left-hand side of the Gemara text, and you see that descending, dashed, dotted line. At that point, after the brackets, the Gemara goes on to say, Elo Omer of Yosef, since we had difficulty using the Rabbi Yehuda d'Hachona to explain Rav's halacha, we come on to another Rabbi Yehuda source, and it's called Rabbi Yehuda the Kalim, and that will be featured on Amud Beis when we get to it. In the meantime, the Gemara is going to focus on that which was just said, that Rabbi Yehuda does not hold from Breira. And by the way, if you say that Rabbi Yehuda does not hold from Breira, then you'll have to say that the behema, when it's alive, is really designated for achila alone, and therefore, when it's shechted on Shabbos, it's going from achila and staying within the realm of achila. And if you say that Rabbi Yehuda will be stringent in the case of the animal that dropped dead on Shabbos, or on, right, as we saw above, an animal that died on Shabbos, Rabbi Yehuda forbids cutting it up for the dogs. That's because there was a change where before Shabbos it was destined for human consumption, and then after dying it's for dogs. That's a big change. But to apply that teaching of Rabbi Yehuda to a case where an animal was slaughtered on Shabbos, where at the entrance of Shabbos it was omeid la'achila, achilas adam, and as a result of the shechita it remains available for achilas adam, maybe Rabbi Yehuda would have been lenient and not go so far as that which Rav taught, that it's osur la'achila. We mentioned, and we're reviewing a point, that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold from Breira, and as a result of that, we are forced to say that a live animal at the entrance of Shabbos or Yom Tov is designated for human consumption. And now, in the bracketed section, we ask Mino Lon, from where do you know that Rabbi Yehuda does not hold from Breira? Before going any further, we have a topic heading that accompanies this Gemara in the outside margin under the Nosei, and we've also indicated that the Nosei is Toch HaSograyim. The Nosei is the topic within the bracketed section, and the topic is Mino Lon Rabbi Yehuda Les Leibre. From where do we know that Rabbi Yehuda does not hold from Breira? Under the Mivneh heading, we've featured a diamond, and you can see we have a diamond with a little one inside of a diamond also. In other words, there's a diamond at the end of the line, five lines from the bottom. You can see there's a Demita Sanya, and in addition to that, there's a little one in the space to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text also in a diamond. This is in order to keep track of the, we'll say, attempts to show where Reb Yudah does not hold from Breira. So, e nemo midasanyo, if you are going to suggest we learn Shitas Reb Yudah that ain lo Breira from the following, this will not work. In other words, this is a suggestion of e nemo. If you say this, the Gemara will reject this at the top of Omid Beis. So if you say it's we see this from that which is taught in the following source, the source is a source that appears in many different Masechtas in the Shas. It deals with a person who purchases wine Erev Shabbos from someone called a Pusi. This is a person who's from a people that would not tithe their produce. So now I'm buying wine, and it happens to be Erev Shabbos, and I don't have any Tohor vessels with me in order to take off the tithes from the wine and eventually give it to the respective recipients. So I'm in a bind. I bought wine from the Kusi. What am I to do in order for me to be able to benefit from the wine that I just bought from the Kusi? We're talking about untithed wine. So it says, Halokeach Yayin Ben HaKusim, one who buys wine from amongst the Kusis, that's the name of the people that are not careful with the laws of Hafroshas, of tithing. Omer, so the person who bought from them, shall say, Shnei Lugin Shani Osid LaHafrish HaReihin Truma. Two lug. Lug is the name of a liquid measure. Two of the lug that I will take off in the future as truma. I am declaring them to be in there to be truma as part of this barrel of wine. So he's saying two lug of the wine in this barrel that I just bought from the Kusim, I'm designating as truma. Asora Maiser Rishon. And 10 lug, we're assuming for the illustration here that we're dealing with a barrel that has 100 lug in it, truma is, midrabonon is 2%, that would be 2 lug. Maiser, as its name indicates, you see the word eser in the word maiser, it's 1/10 of what one of what one bought. So he continues to declare, this customer who bought the wine from the Kusim, he says, Asora Maiser Rishon, Tisha Maiser Sheni, because after designating from the 100 lug, let us say, for the 100 lug of wine, you removed, in addition to the 2 lug of Shemen, you removed 10 lug of for Maiser Rishon. So once that's tithe, so you are left with 90 units, and a tenth of 90 units, Tisha Maiser Sheni, the owner of the wine then says that 9 of the lugim will be, I'm declaring as Maiser Sheni, Umechal. Umechal is a word indicating that he's poded. Poded, pidyon is redeeming the fruits of Maiser Sheni, transferring the holiness that the Maiser Sheni fruits, you transfer it onto money, and that money is then taken into Yerushalayim is used for buying food. Specifically, or the best thing to do is to buy korbanos, korban shlomim. This whole approach of making a verbal, doing a verbal tithing, and leaving it all mixed in with the basic wine, but you have verbally tithed. The result of this is v'shosa miyad, you're able to drink the wine immediately. In other words, we are relying on the fact that the tithes will be left around when you finish the wine, and you will thereby be able to say, here are the tithes of the wine that I was drinking all along. Divrei Rabbi Meir. This is Rabbi Meir's approach. We'll call it the lenient approach. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Osrin. What we've dashed underlined are the key names here. We dashed underlined Rabbi Yehuda and the word Osrin. So you see that Rabbi Yehuda asers. Now, why does Rabbi Yehuda aser? So in the Havamina, it's because he doesn't hold from this idea of retroactive clarification. In other words, to say that the wine that's left over after he finishes drinking the barrel of wine, to say, oh, this is the wine that was meant to be tithed from the very outset. That's a retroactive clarification. We see here that Rebbe Yehuda doesn't allow this form of tithing, where it becomes retroactively clear that that which you were drinking all along had benefited from these tithes that now appear at the very end. The Gemara says, if you are going to rely on this as a demonstration that Rebbe Yehuda denies Breira, Hasam, there that Rebbe Yehuda forbade the drinking of the wine is for a different reason. Not because he doesn't subscribe to retroactive clarification, but Hasam Kedetani Taima, there is a reason that's taught in the Tanaic source. Amru lo the Rebbe Meir. They told Rebbe Meir, who was lenient and allowed the immediate drinking of the wine after the verbal declaration, they said to Rebbe Meir, Yata moide shemi boka anoid, are you not afraid that the node, which is the flask containing the wine, may split? And if it splits, so all the wine will run out. And in the meantime, that which he started drinking won't have the benefit of a clear tithe, because the tithe will have run out before he ever finished the wine. So they said to Rebbe Meir, are you not fearful that the node, the jug may break? V'nimtza shoyset volim l'mafreya, and then it will become apparent to us that he was drinking tevel. Tevel, tevolim is the plural of the word tevel, means untithed wine all along. Amar Lahem, so Rebbe Meir responded with their raising this point of fear. He responded, Lichshi boka, I'll worry about it when it splits. I'm not worried about the possibility of it splitting. Just to review what has happened, we thought that the din of Rav, that Asur Lechol B'Yoyme, is taken from the teaching of Rebbe Yehuda. We had asked, which Rebbe Yehuda are you referring to? So we thought that it was the Rebbe Yehuda by the case of the Nevela for the Klovin, where Rebbe Yehuda was stringent there too. When we say too, means in addition to Rav's stringency in the case of the animal who shechted on Shabbos. The Gemara, though, went on to show that there is a lack of parallel. In other words, Rebbe Yehuda's stringency by the case of the Nevela is more easily understood, because there the behema experienced a transition from being muchan la'odam to then becoming muchan l'klovim, and that transition is what causes the prohibition. However, in the case of someone that was shochet b'Shabbos, where at the entrance of Shabbos it was available, it was designated for human benefit, and when it's shechted it remains that which is for human benefit, that's not a drastic change. There's no change in terms of the hachona status. So that even though Rebbe Yehuda may be machmir in the case of the cutting up of the nevela, that doesn't necessarily mean he would be machmir like Rav is suggesting, namely that it's also l'achila b'yoyme. We pointed out, though, that as part of our bracketed section, we are seeking where there is a Rebbe Yehuda that denies the Breira institution, this idea of retroactive clarification. So the Gemara says, Elo midetoni Ayo. Ayo is the name of a scholar. So he says, from Ayo's teaching, Detoni Ayo, Ayo teaches the following source, and of course Rebbe Yehuda's name is underlined, he is the purpose of our whole discussion. Where is it that Rebbe Yehuda does not hold from Breira? So we have a source that will lead us into a discussion concerning Eruv Tchumen. Rebbe Yehuda Omer, Ein Oda Masna Al Shnei Dvorim Ke'echad, a person cannot make a condition that would enable him, that in the condition he's making a stipulation concerning two things at one time. Elo, and what that means will be clear, much more clearly understood by going through the case Rabbi Yehuda says a person can't masne al shnei dvorim keachot. Ella, maybe by way of introduction, we have to say we're talking about someone who is in town. He lives in town, and on Shabbos, in general, a person who lives in a community on Shabbos is entitled to walk 2,000 amos in all directions around the community, but not beyond 2,000 amos. That's called going beyond the tchum. Let us say that a visiting scholar is coming to the area of this town, but not coming to the town itself. He's coming to some point outside the town. And the point outside the town is, let us say, more than 2,000 amos from the city itself. Now, we have a person in town that's interested in hearing this scholar's lecture that's going to be presented out of town, meaning more than 2,000 amos away from his community, from the listener's community. What can the one who wants to listen to the lecture do? He can set down an Eruv Tchumen. An Eruv Tchumen is a situation where a person puts down a portion of food at a point, and he's doing this, of course, on Erev Shabbos. He puts a parcel of food down at a point point outside of the city at which he is Konesh Shvisa. Konesh Shvisa means he's relocating himself to the spot that the food is placed down. By changing this person's legal location to a point outside the city, that will enable the beneficiary to walk 2,000 amas from that parcel of food, which will then enable him to get to where the chacham is coming. So we said that you can't make a double eruv tchumen, one to the east and one to the west. Ela im bo chacham lemizrach, eruvo lemizrach. If the chacham is coming from the east, so then one can set up an eruv for extending his tchum, his ability or the distance he's allowed to travel eastward. Lemarov, if the chacham is coming lemarov to the western part of the region, then eruvo lemarov. I can set down an eruv saying that I want to be kone shvisa west of the city. The ilu lekan ulekan lo, but to set down an eruv both to the east and the west, and say that. And to rely on the two eruvs as enabling me to consider my new shvisa at those points, that you cannot do. That's vilu lekan ulekan lo, to place an eruv to the east and the west, and then stipulate your stipulations. That cannot be done. V'havinon bo, and we ask, maishno lekan ulekan delo. Why is it that to put an Eruv to the east and the west, that is not allowed? What would he benefit by putting an Eruv to the east and the west? Well, that would cover a case where there are two scholars that are coming to the area, and the resident that wants to hear a lecture, he wants to hear one of the two scholars. So as one coming from the eastern district, and one coming from a western district. We are taught here that you cannot place two eruvs down and then say that that on Shabbos the one to either the east or the west is where I was kone shvisa at the entrance of Shabbos. The Havinon Bo, and we ask, my shno lekanu lekanula, why is it that to place an Eruv to the east and the west, and then on Shabbos say, well, I want the eastern one, and then we should then say, oh, retroactively, that's where the person was kone shvisa. So why is it that that in two directions we say it is not effective, the ein brera, because we don't hold from retroactive clarification, namely when he expresses his desire for which one he wanted on Shabbos, and that is going to then reflect to where his Shvisa was at the entrance of Shabbos, that's a function of retroactivity. And from here you see that Rabbi Yehuda does not hold from retroactive determination. But actually, before we come to that conclusion, the Gemara is asking, why is it that in two directions we say the person cannot place the Eruv because of Ein Breira? Well, why in the Reisha is it yes allowed? Mizrach Umarov Nami, where he places an Eruv to the east, claiming that if the Chacham comes from the east, so then that will be my Shvisa. Well, that's also Ein Breira. And yet Rabbi Yehuda says that that does work. Namely, a one where you place an Eruv down to the east and say that if the Chacham comes from the east, then I want my Shvisa to be the east. And if not, so my Shvisa is the town. Or to do the same thing with regard to the west. You put an Eruv down to the west and you say, if he comes from the west, so that is where I want my Shvisa to be. But if he doesn't come, so then I want the town to be my Shvisa. So why does that yes work? So is that not also an example of something that's what we call retroactive clarification? The Omar, Rabbi Yochanan Ukvar Bo Chacham. In the case of the east or west that we say he is allowed to do, that's a situation where the Chacham had already come by the time Shabbos sets in. It just was not known to the person who was setting up the Eruv which direction the Chacham came in. So if that's the case, that's called Gilui Milsa the Alma. That's not an actual function of Breira, because all of the circumstances were really established when Shabbos set in, namely by fact that the Chacham arrived prior to Shabbos to either the east or the west. So the kinyan of the Shvisa in the direction that the Chacham actually came is called Gilui Milsa B'Alma. It's not a real Breira. However, to set up two Eruvs, one to the east and one to the west, and say that the one that I want to go to on Shabbos is the one that is my Shvisa, when are you deciding? You're deciding on Shabbos. And that decision will then serve to establish where your Shvisa was prior to the entrance of Shabbos. That is Breira. And that is what Rabbi Yehuda says you cannot do. You can't rely on that. So as far as this internal discussion, that namely that which is in the brackets, we have established that Rabbi Yehuda does not hold from Breira. From the case of a person trying to set up an Eruv Tchumin, and he puts it one to the east and one to the west, and wants on Shabbos to decide which one he wants to be effective for him, and that would thereby be an application of retroactive determination, and that one cannot do. For a fuller explanation of this whole Eruvin story, Rashi has a complete presentation. But for our purposes, that really is a very side point. The overall sugya is simply looking for a Rebbe Yehuda that would serve as a basis for Rav's teaching that an animal that shechted on Shabbos is asur b'achila l'yomei, that it's asur to eat from it that day. So the Gemara says, Elo Amar v'yosef Rebbe Yehuda d'kelim. We can see this idea in the following Tanaic source that deals with kelim and Rebbe Yehuda's opinion. Disnan, kol ha-kelim. We should point out before we get into the actual text of the Gemara that to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text you see a nun that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line that shows us the nun indicates a point. The Gemara will be presenting a point all during these lines, the lines of Gemara that are opposite the descending vertical dashed line. So Rav Yosef says that Rabbi Yehuda of that would be the basis for Rav's teaching is Rabbi Yehuda of kelim, vessels. Disnan kol hakelim hanitlin b'Shabbos shivrem nitlin. Any vessel that you're allowed to move around on Shabbos, if it breaks into pieces, the pieces of that vessel, one is also allowed to, that's the Shivrayan is Mutter Letaltel. Provided that the shards or the pieces of the vessel that broke, that the pieces themselves are fit for some type of constructive activity. The point of still useful in some form is explained by the source. Shivrei Areva. An Areva is a mixing bowl. If it smashed the pieces on Shabbos, so the Shivrei Areva, L'chasas v'en pi chavis, the pieces, the shards of this broken Areva can be used as a cover for the jugs that are accompanying the people. So Shivrei Areva, if the pieces are suitable as a cover, Shivrei Izechuchis L'chasas v'en pi hapach. And broken pieces of glass, if you have pieces that are suitable for covering a pach, is a type of flask, then the shivorim can be carried around too. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Obavad Shu Oisin Me'ein Malachton. Rabbi Yehuda is more stringent and says that you can't move around the broken pieces of a vessel that broke on Shabbos unless it does something that the pieces are functional for some function that was similar to the original vessel. Examples: Shivrei Areva, Lotzuk L'Soichon Mikpe. If you have pieces of an Areva, of a bowl that smashed, the pieces themselves have to continue performing a function similar to when they were part of the whole vessel. So Rebbe says that the idea of moving shvarim around is provided they do me'ein malachton, something similar to their original vessel purpose. Example: Shivrei Areva, Lotzuk L'Soichon Mikpeh. Broken pieces of a mixing bowl, if they are suitable for pouring into the shard, into this piece, some porridge. Shivrei Zechuchis, broken pieces of glass. They're useful for almost nothing. However, if they're useful, Lotzuk L'Sochon Shemen, then you can use it. Then you can carry it around on Shabbos according to Rabbi Yehuda. We want to emphasize Me'ein Malachton In, only if the piece functions as in a form that's similar to the original vessel. Me'ein Malocha Cheres Lo. However, if you have the piece of broken vessel, and this piece is useful for some type of activity, some type of constructive activity. However, something that's just not similar at all to what the original vessel was doing, then there would not be an allowance to move around those pieces according to Rabbi Yehuda. Alma, what do we see from this? Kevon de lo iskan me'etzmo lahach melocha asiri. If you have a piece of vessel that is not useful for what the original vessel was designed for, so we say it's also letaltel, it's also to move around that piece. So we see from here that since it wasn't muchon me'asmo, it wasn't designated prior to the entrance of Shabbos, since it's lacking this hachona, this designation, it's usur. So let's read that line again. Alma kevon delo iskan me'asmo lahach malocha asiri. Well, hachanami, with regard to the animal that was shechted on Shabbos, kevon delo iskan me'asmo, since it wasn't designated prior to Shabbos as an animal for eating, so asura, it will be also to metaltel, to move it around and to eat from it that day. Omar le Abaye, mi dami. Now, this is a long question. You can see we have a long question marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. And Abaye asks, mi dami, how can you compare the case of Rabbi Yehuda and the Shivrei Kelim to the case of the animal that was shechted on Shabbos? Hasam meikara kli v'hashto shever kli. why the reason Rabbi Yehuda is machmir in the case of the vessel that broke is because originally it was a functional vessel, now it's a broken thing, it's a new entity. That's a drastic change. Therefore, I can understand that Rabbi Yehuda would ban the moving of Shivrei Kalim if they don't do Me'ein Malachton. Let's read that line again, starting with Abaye. Omer le'Abaye, midomi, hasam meikara kli v'ashda shever kli. In the case of the vessel breaking, and Rabbi Yehuda says that only if it is able to perform its original function, otherwise you can't move it around. That is that's because it started off as a complete vessel, and now it's a broken piece. Vavile nolad v'osir. It's nolad means something that did not have hachona. It's something that was a new entity that developed on Shabbos itself. That's forbidden. Hacha, by the case of the behema, which when it's alive, it's omeid lachila meikara ochla ulebasof ochel, and at the point that it's slaughtered, even if it's slaughtered on Shabbos, it's still ochel. Uchlo de ifris hu. It's considered uchlo de ifris is an expression meaning food that got separated from something else. Ifris is like the word hifrish, something that got separated. So it's food that comes from food. V'shaminu le Rabbi Yehuda diyamar uchlo de ifris shapir domi. That food that gets separated from other food is not considered. Shapir domi means it's fine. It's not considered a problem of nolad. Now, where do we see that? So that's Disnan in the following source. But before we go further, we just have to keep our eyes on the structure of the Gemara. We're in the middle of a question. And that is to suggest that Rabbi Yehuda of Kalim is going to be the source of Rabbi Yehuda that's associated with Rav's Halacha. That is going too far. There is no parallel. Rabbi Yehuda is stringent in the case of the Kalim because it started off as a functional vessel and now it's something totally different. It's a shever kli, it's a broken piece of vessel. So that major transition is what causes Rav's prohibition in the case of the Shivrei Kalim. However, when it comes to an animal that was shechted on Shabbos, you don't have this dramatic change in status. It started off as something suitable for human benefit, and when it's after it's shechted, it is also the same thing. It's suitable for human benefit. Now, the last point that the Gemara mentioned was the case of an animal that when Shabbos enters, it's there, it's alive. So there is this idea that the behema is available for food purposes. When it's shechted on Shabbos, it's just like a piece of food that got separated from other food and is fine, it's mutter. Where do we see this idea of uchlo difris is not a problem of nolad? So that's what the Gemara points out now. We'll read from the beginning of the line where it says v'shamino leid rebuta de'omar uchlo difris shapir domi. Tisnan, we have the following Tanaic source. Ein sochten es haperos lo simhen mashkin. One is not allowed to squeeze out fruits on Shabbos in order to extract from them their juices. V'im yotsu me'asmon asurin. If juices flowed out on their own from peros, they are forbidden. Rabbi Yehuda omer im lo'oichlan hayotze mehen mutter. If you had gathered these fruits originally for the purpose of eating them, as opposed to for the purpose of juice production. So if you gather these fruits for eating purposes, and through gravity, we'll say, juices start to ooze forth from them, so you are allowed to benefit from those juices. We should just glance in Rashi that says, im la'ochlan, Hayotzim and Mutter, Rashi says, in the wide lines under the Tosfos, he says, Im hoyu oimden lachila, velo lischot, if you have fruits that were gathered for eating purposes and not for juice production, Hayotzim and Mutter, that which oozes forth from the eating fruits, the beverage that issues forth from them is allowed to be benefited from, even on the same day. The kevan de lo nichole, since he is not happy with this, he wanted the fruits for eating. He didn't want their volume to become diminished because of the absence of juices that flowed out on their own. So he's not happy with that. Therefore, leko lemigzar, there's no reason for imposing a ban or a prohibition on these fruits. Leko lemigzar, I shoras lehu b'shtia hayom, osi lischol, we don't have to make gzera suggesting that, well, if he's allowed to benefit from the juices, he will come to directly squeeze out more fruits. He wouldn't do that because he had gathered these fruits for eating purposes. Therefore, there's no reason for making a gzera. V'im lemashkin, if you gather these fruits for beverage production, which is very common in the case of, let's say, olives and grapes. Grapes you want for their wine content. So if you gather the grapes for their juices, then hayyotze mehen osur, that which comes forth on its own from them is forbidden. The Rashi that accompanies this says, v'im lamashkin, hoyo v'niskayim ha-machshavoso, since automatic flow of juices from these, we'll call them juice fruits, since this is what he wanted them for in the first place, Isharis Lahu Kishizavu, if we allow him to benefit from the beverages that oozed out on their own, Ikolamigzar Lahu, there is room for making a gezera, Shema Yishot. If we allow him to benefit from the partial amount of juices that came out on their own, he might come to squeeze the rest of the fruits, to squeeze them out. They were there for juice production. We see from this that Mishum Nolad Lo Osar Lahu Rabbi Yehuda. We see from here that Rabbi Yehuda's prohibition is not a prohibition based on the Nolad problem. And that's very clear in the case of fruits that you gathered for eating purposes. The juices that come out of them, we are allowing them. We're not making an exera. And by our allowing them, we're also showing you that Rebbe Yehuda is not concerned with a nolad problem. The nolad is that which was not there at the point that Shabbos began. So at this point, we've reached the end of what's described through our markings as a long question. What is, again, the question? How can you compare the cases of how can you compare the case of Rebbe of Kalim, where he is stringent, to the case of the behemoth that was shechted on Yom Tov? There was a fundamental difference. And the difference, as the Gemara said, in the case of the Kalim, it started as a Kli, and then the pieces are a Shever Kli, something completely different, completely changed status. And therefore, if there was no formal designation, it is not allowed on Shabbos, not allowed to move around these Shivrei Kalim. So since there's a drastic change in status, therefore Rebbe Yehuda is machmir. However, in the case of an animal that was shechted on Shabbos, well, originally it was destined to be eaten, and when it's shechted, it still is now something suitable for being for eating. And therefore, I don't know, says the Gemara, that Rabbi Yehuda would be machmir as Rav said. Rav asserted it that to eat the meat that day. The Gemara now responds, Lav Itmar Alo, was it not stated concerning this source, Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, Moide Hoya Rabbi Yehuda, Lachachomim, Besale Zeisim Vanovim. Rabbi Yehuda would be Machmir and accept the opinion of the Chachomim that banned benefiting from the juices in the case of baskets of olives and grapes. Alma, what do we see from this? What do we see from the fact that Rabbi Yehuda will acknowledge that the olive oil or the grape juice that oozes on its own from those fruits should be usur on that Shabbos? Alma, we see from here, kivan de l'schito kaimi, since these fruits, since seisim and anovim are a type of fruit that are primarily, they're designated for squeezing out, So since they are destined for Schita, Yohiv Daite, the owner will think about the juices, and therefore there is a chashash that if we allow the juices, he will come to squeeze out the fruits directly. Hochanami. So too in the case of the behema, kevan de l'shchita kaima, since the animal, and we're talking about the animal that was slaughtered on Shabbos, since the animal is destined for shchita, yohiv daite, a person, when he notices his behema, he considers that possibility that it's good for meat, and therefore there is reason to aser the meat of the behema that was slaughtered on Shabbos. The Gemara asks, and you can see through the use of our volcano form, we know how to keep track of the Gemara. Midi hu taimo elo l'rav. Is it not so that our whole discussion is in order to explain Rav? Well, ha'omar Rav, but Rav said, choluk hoyo Rabbi Yehuda afilu besale zesim vanovim. That Rabbi Yehuda is at odds, in other words, he is mekil, even with regard to baskets of olives and grapes. And matir, he'll matir the mashkim. If we look in the Rashi, toward the bottom, three lines from the bottom, approximately says, "Midi hu taimo elo l'rav, hai shinui aliba de rav shinui lo." Our whole approach here is to answer for Rav. Diu amar the Rabbi Yehuda asura b'chil yomo. He is the one that said, allegedly said, that it's also to eat that day. We say allegedly. Allegedly, his comment is in conformity to Rabbi Yehuda. Cholukoya, Rashi goes on to say, umatir, he would disagree and allow, even in the case of zesim and anovim. V'hocha nami, amai asura lioma. If in the case of the baskets of olives and grapes, he is going to allow the beverage, even though by allowing that you could say he might come to squeeze them out. Nevertheless, Rav is Mekil. So if Rav is Mekil, why then would Rav say that a behema that's shechted on Shabbos, why should that be forbidden? So we have to find a new Rebbe Yehuda to ascribe the teaching of Rav to. It's also important to point out that the most recent attempt was to ascribe Rav's teaching to Rabbi Yehuda of Kalim, but that whole approach didn't work out by virtue of the most recent argument that we showed concerning Rabbi Yehuda's stance with regard to Uchlo de Ifras. So Elo Omar of Sheshes Braid Rav Idi, Rabbi Yehuda de Neros ki. Rabbi Yehuda, that we will see very shortly in the context of candles. De Sanya, Metatle Ner Chodosh, Avalo Yashon Devri Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that you're allowed to move around a Ner. A Ner is a unit that holds a wick and oil. Loosely translated as a candle, but we're not referring to a wax candle with a wick in it that we are familiar with, but rather more of a candelabra that has oil receptacles in which you place wicks for burning. So if it's a ner chadosh, this is something that was never used, it can be moved around on Shabbos. However, if it's a used one, if it's yoshan, you're not allowed to move it around. The reason for this is that we're talking about a earthenware ner, And the earthenware nair, after it's been used for kindling, for illumination, it becomes disgusting. There's a bad smell associated with it. So, therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, if it's yoshan, you're not allowed to metatel it. The behema, when the day of Shabbos entered, it was muktzeh. It was called aver min achai. It was something that you couldn't benefit from. You couldn't eat from it. An animal that's alive has a status of prohibition with regard as far as food wise. So we're trying to see a parallel, just like the ner yoshan is something that Rabbi Yehuda says you cannot metatel. So to the behema, which at the entrance of Shabbos was not available, just like the ner yoshan is something that people would not use, so too the behemoth is something you would not use. Therefore, even though you shechted it on Shabbos and it became useful, nevertheless, since at the entrance of Shabbos it wasn't available for this purpose, it's forbidden. The Gemara says, how can you make a parallel between Rabbi Yehuda of Neros and the behemoth case? Amar the Shabbos le the Rabbi Yehuda the muktzeh machmas mius. Rabbi Yehuda has his stringency. That's regard to muktzeh, that something that you do not use because of its disgusting nature. However, muktzeh machmas isur mi shamas lei. But to say that something that's muktzeh, muktzeh is a phenomenon of something that has not been mukhan, something that's been cast aside. Something that's cast aside because of its isur, because as we said, the behem was also rishum avrim and achai. It's not a function of it being disgusting, it's a function of it being prohibited. Does Rabbi Yehuda say that that creates a prohibition for the entire Shabbos? Namely, even if it's shechted, it will be usur? So the Gemara says, In fact, Rabbi Yehuda does subscribe to this concept of muktzeh machmas iser as creating a prohibition for the entire Shabbos. Disnan, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol neros shel mateches metatelin, neros that are made of metal as opposed to earthenware, you can metatel, even if it was used in the past, it's not disgusting. Chutz min aner shediku bo ba'oyser Shabbos, with the exception of a ner that was lit that very Shabbos, even though it may be made of metal, but it was lit that very Shabbos, so that when Shabbos set in, it was muktzeh machmas iser. There was an iser associated with that, a prohibition associated with a burning candle. For example, a burning candle is something you cannot extinguish. That will then enable us to maintain the parallel to a living animal, something that you cannot eat. It has an iser of aver min achai on it. So if that be the case, we can still say that Rabbi Yehuda, who's machmir with regard to a ner shedliku bo b'Shabbos, could be the Rabbi Yehuda that would aser the animal that was shechted on Shabbos. It's aser that for that day. Gemara suggests, well, v'dilma, it asks, v'dilma shiny hasam. Maybe the case of the ner is different. Dehu dochi le biyodayim. He pushed it away in a halachic sense by having lit the candle Erev Shabbos. He lit it and thereby made it unfit for Shabbos use. But that's not the same thing with regard to a behemoth. He didn't do something to the behemoth to make it unfit. Therefore, we can't say that Rabbi Yehuda, who's stringent with regard to the ner, would be stringent with regard to an animal that was slaughtered on Shabbos. That brings the Gemara up to another attempt to find which Rabbi Yehuda could be the background for Rav's teaching. But with that, we conclude our shiur for today.